Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, you know that I'm coming to you live with lots of love and just a little bit of southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I pray that wherever you are today all over the world, that you are creating for yourself a beautiful and abundant day. Well, how are you doing today? Have you had a great week? Thank you so much for joining me. Have you been changing the way you've been thinking? Well, I've had a very relaxing weekend. Some weeks ago, I decided, and of course, you know, everything in life begins with a decision, that I was going to bring more of what I loved and enjoyed in my life on a daily basis. So yesterday, a friend of mine told me about a beautiful coffee house that was close to the water. I just love being around water. And, of course, in Atlanta, we don't have a lot of oceans, but we do have rivers. And so yesterday she told me about a really quaint, secluded coffee house located on the Chattahoochee River. So yesterday I just sat there and read the author's book, who's going to be on today, and felt the breeze brushing across my face and just decided to be. I was watching people having a great time in the water, rafting down the river and just having a great time. So yesterday I decided that I just wanted to just be in the moment, and so I'm really grateful for that. And I have an email that I received that I want to share with all of you, and I want to say once again, thank you for sending me all of those great emails. They're so encouraging. One of my listeners said, "Dear Constance, I finally got it. I need to keep my mind only on what I want. Why did it take me so long to get this concept?" I understand that. As long as I keep thinking on what I don't want, I will continue to create the vibration for that very thing. Of course, the thing I needed, or should I say desired, was the big one, money, M-O-N-E-Y. But all during the day when my bills would come in the mail, I would think, what am I going to do? Fear would grip my heart, and I would even lose sleep at night. Then it finally hit me, Constance, as long as I keep thinking on lack, I will keep creating lack. Thank you so much for your show. Continue to do the good work. Well, how many of you can relate to what the writer is saying? I know that I can. It took me a while to really get that concept, and I think it was Esther Hicks who says, as long as you keep beating the drum of what is, you will continue to get what is. So that means do not give your attention or your feelings toward things that you don't want. Begin to beat the drum of what you want. So that was just a great letter. Well, before I introduce my special guest today, Mr. Philip Harris, let me tell you about the great lineup of experts that I have scheduled for you over the next couple of weeks. On July 26th, which is next Sunday, Tulane Mee Daner, she's the author of The Secret Laws of Attraction and Coach Yourself to Success. And beginning in August, Jonathan Mansky, the author of The Law of Attraction Made Simple, Magnetize Your Heart's Desires. Ellen Wood, the author of The Secret Method for Growing Younger, Utilizing the Law of Attraction. Harry Carpenter, author of The Genie Within. And, of course, we're going to be having coming back to us for the second time, Antonio Thornton, who is the founder of the largest Law of Attraction meetup group in the world and is the author of the Law of Attraction workbook. So remember, I am bringing all of these guests to you to give you information to begin changing your life, but you have to own it. You have to know it in order to begin to bring about change. Well, I want to move quickly to my guest today. He is very intriguing. I think he's a fascinating man, and I've only read his material and just spoken to him briefly, but his name is Philip F. Harris, and he is the author of Jesus Taught It Too, The Early Roots of the Law of Attraction. He's the founder of All Things That Matter Press, which is a no-fee, royalty-paying small press that seeks to publish books that help the author share their self with the world. The All Things That Matter Press may well be the placement where you might get your first book published. I know I talked to him briefly about getting my new book, How to Turn Your Mess into a Miracle, and he said he might consider it. He has a blog entitled Waking God, and personally, I think his work is thought-provoking, riveting, and it sort of just breaks down traditional thinking and sort of moves you toward kind of liberated truth. And I'm so excited to have him on the show today. So, Philip Harris, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Constance. Doing absolutely wonderful. We actually have a second day of summer here in Maine.
Oh, so you're in Maine. What part of Maine?
It's what they call mid-coast Maine. We're situated between Augusta, the capital, and the coast. And we just haven't had a summer to speak of. It's been a very cloudy, wet, cool kind of summer. Most of the gardens have pretty much gotten waterlogged or eaten by snails and all kinds of bugs. And literally, I'd say since April, we've had maybe 3 or 4 days where you could actually say, oh, this is a summer day.
Okay. Well, I'm glad today is a great day for you. Well, I am so excited about talking with you and with you sharing with our listeners. I think I was telling you over the phone before the show began that I am a Christian with expanded consciousness, and I remember initially when I started my radio show, a lot of my friends said, what are you doing on that Law of Attraction radio talk show? That's new thought. That's new age. I'm like, no, that's universal principles. And so I just love your book. And so let's get started. You've written a book called Jesus Taught It to the Early Roots of the Law of Attraction. Why did you pick this as a topic? It sounds very controversial.
well, for a couple reasons. One, when the book The Secret came out, there were a lot of unanswered questions, and the comment that you received from one of your listeners, you know, why are you a Christian, you know, into this Law of Attraction, New Age stuff, you know, that there's something basically wrong. Well, I heard a lot of those comments, and I wrote numerous blogs about that, and as a result, I finally said, all right, enough is enough. The Law of Attraction, the Law of Attraction goes back thousands and thousands of years. I'm probably going to write a book called Buddha Taught It Too, The Earlier Roots of the Law of Attraction. And, I mean, we can go back to the ancient Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten, and the Law of Attraction was there as well. But given that so many people are Christians, I figured, well, okay, let's try to clear the air there, that there's absolutely virtually zero conflict between the Law of Attraction and the teachings of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking Christianity. I really have to make a distinction there. I am not saying that Christianity, religious dogma, teaches the Law of Attraction. I am saying that Jesus taught the Law of Attraction. In my mind, those are two very distinct issues.
So you feel that what Jesus taught is not what's being taught to the masses?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because if what he was taught was being taught to the masses, I don't think you'd see a lot of churches and that type of thing, because you don't need them. The money that goes into those could be going to help poor people, feeding the starving folks in Darfur. We wouldn't be having any wars or any of that type of thing. Unfortunately, in my particular opinion, religion, organized religion, not the teachings of Jesus or the teachings of Buddha or the teachings of Muhammad, but those that created religions around those teachings became self-serving, and they have been a very divisive force throughout human history. So that's kind of where my problem is. But, yeah, there's no question in my mind that Jesus definitely taught the Law of Attraction. He totally knew what it was, and he understood that it's not something that you use. It's not something that you play with. It's something that actually exists, just like the Law of Gravity exists.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, I'm not going to use the Law of Gravity this weekend. You know, don't step out the window, because whether you want to use it or not, it's going to take hold of you. And what he tried to do, in my opinion, was to take the fundamental ideas. Obviously, back then they didn't call it the Law of Attraction, but he knew what it took in order to create your own reality, your own heaven on earth.
Right. I know that you said that there are 10.4 million sites on the Internet devoted to the law of attraction and 168 million sites devoted to the topic of Jesus.
Right.
What is that relationship between these two? Why is it such a phenomena?
Well, I think we are at a point in human evolution, we are at a point in human history, what I call a confluence of events, where everything is being questioned, everything that hasn't worked in human history is being put under the magnifying glass, and suddenly we have this resurgence of something deep within inside of us that is saying something isn't quite right. And we want to know, humanity as a whole is seeking anew to find the truth about what the universe is all about. And whether it be in religion or politics or the environment, schools, no matter where you turn, everything is being looked at, everything is being questioned. You know, some might relate this to 2012. The Great Awakening, some people say it's doomsday. I don't believe in the doomsday thing. The
right.
old day may be old ideas are going to die. So I suppose if you want to hold on to old ideas, you may have a problem. But I think everything is coming together at this point in time where people are just saying enough is enough.
Right. People want to know what's working. Why isn't this working? And what do I need to do to bring about change? Why do you feel that The Secret was like a spiritual awakening? Why do you think that the movie, the DVD, The Secret was so powerful?
I think it was so powerful because I believe it's what people at a very subconscious level understand that we are each individually responsible for our own reality. Now, we don't admit to that. And unfortunately, our history has been one of giving that responsibility over to somebody else. You know, the pastor will fix my problem, the priest will fix my problem, the government will fix my problem. But deep inside, we know that's not true. The bottom line is, if our lives are screwed up, ultimately we have to take responsibility for that. And we've been fighting that tooth and nail for thousands and thousands of years.
I
think that's finally coming to the point where people are beginning to say, well, you know, all of these people that we've relied on to solve our problems, it just isn't working. So now they're beginning to look inward, and I think The Secret tapped into this universal unconscious desire to bring various truths to the light. It's taking the bushel basket off your light, basically, and letting your light shine.
And so that's the law of responsibility.
Exactly.
Okay. I want you to share in just plain words, talk a little bit about quantum physics and Jesus, or expound on how science and religion are coming together.
Yeah, I think if anybody really wants to have a basic grasp or understanding of the law of attraction, if you approach it from a spiritual end, you might run into all kinds of philosophical issues. But now, if you go to science, we're discovering things that, truthfully, Constance, mystics knew thousands of years ago. And what quantum physics is telling us now, they don't understand it, and they haven't yet made that quantum leap themselves into coming to the conclusion that, in fact, there may very well be a guiding intelligence to the universe. But what they are discovering is that, one, everything is connected. Two, we live and breathe and have our being in a sea of energy. Some people will call that God, universal intelligence, whatever you want to term it. And three, the way in which we perceive and believe about that sea of energy becomes the reality that we manifest. And what they've found at the subatomic level, and they've shown this scientifically to be true, that nothing exists until you focus on it.
That
basically, all you have is this sea of energy, and the material that is there, it's positive and negative all at the same time. It can be in 20 places all at the same time. But it's not until you decide what you're looking for that suddenly it appears. And this becomes very important because if you think back to Genesis, what did God tell Adam to do? Go ahead and name everything.
Mm.
Well, when Adam sat down there and was naming everything, he was bringing the world as we know it today into physical existence. He was taking that raw sea of energy and attaching a concept to that energy, and in the process we have a physical world coming into the reality as we now know it.
And so that's why the lady who I read her email said that as long as she focused in, I don't have the money, I don't have the money, I don't have the money, which I call the drum of what is, she vibrated at that level. But as soon as she changed her focus and began to look at abundance, then things changed for her.
It's true, but she still has one hurdle to go over.
What is that hurdle?
And a lot of people have this basic problem. And this is a fundamental flaw with the book, The Secret. You have to get out of thinking about what you want, because thinking about what you want means you don't have it.
Yes.
Okay? So, yes, okay. Obviously, it's a step forward to not focus on the things you don't have. But as you start focusing on things, I want this, I want this, I want this, and no matter how positive that wanting may be, you are still, by using the word want, you're putting it off into the future. And Jesus addressed this perfectly. He said, "Say not, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest."
Now.
Okay? What he's telling people is you don't have to sit and wait. You don't have to want your crops to grow. You don't have to want your happiness to manifest. You don't have to want your abundance to manifest. Know that it is already there, which brings up the second problem people have, and unfortunately you use the word in your show, but that's okay.
That's fine.
The word believe, okay?
That's the name of my show, Phil.
I know
think, believe
in that.
I
know that, but think about this, for example. If I were to say to you, if you said, "Phil, I'm thinking of going to the beach tomorrow. What do you think?" And I say, "Well, I believe it's going to rain." You're going to sit there and say, "Well, do you know it's going to rain?" And I'm going to say, "Well, no, it's not that I know it's going to rain, but, you know, based on some of the forecasts I saw, I believe it's going to rain." Now, is that a sense of certainty?
No,
no,
it's not.
No. If I were to say to you, "I know it's going to rain tomorrow, Constance. Do not go to the beach. We're going to have severe thunderstorms and lightning and all of this type of stuff, so don't bother." Okay? That's a totally different statement than, "I believe it's going to rain." And this is a problem that again, it's a word we have to get rid of. We have to get rid of believe because it's uncertain. We have to get rid of things like wanting because that's uncertain and it puts everything off into the future. Know that your field is white with harvest now. Whatever you want, that field of energy is sitting there right in front of you, and all you have to do is focus your thoughts properly and know that whatever you desire has already manifested. It's already there. All you got to do is bring it into your reality.
And so the lady who is thinking on abundance, so she should be saying, "Thank you, I have abundance now. Abundance is mine now," instead of...
You bet.
Okay, I got it.
Yes.
So give me some more specific examples of Jesus and the law of attraction.
Oh, let's see. What do we want to talk about? How about... okay, judgment.
Okay, I love that one. Judgment.
Yeah, I love judgment. Judgment has been a thorn in my side ever since I was a little kid. Okay, Jesus specifically says, "Judge not, that ye may not be judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure ye mete out, it's going to be measured back to you." Now, people, unfortunately, the religious aspect of Christianity or of Jesus' teachings, when you think of the word judgment, you tend to think of, are you going to make
heaven? Then I'm in big trouble.
Or, you know, are you good? Are you bad? You know, we're going to judge you worthy or unworthy, that type of thing. No. We have to go to the root word. What does judgment mean? Judgment means making a final decision, okay? So what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, don't make a final decision about anything, because if you make a final decision about something, then what you decide to be truth is, in fact, going to be the truth of your life.
Hmm.
Okay? So what you have decided the world is all about, what your life is all about, if you can make a conclusion about what you see in your life and saying, "Well, this is it, you know, I'm poor, I'm unhappy, I have horrible relationships," if you make that decision, then guess what? You know, that you're standing in front of a mirror, and the mirror is only going to reflect back what you put in front of it. So if you're putting final decisions in front of it, then what you're going to see in the mirror is the exact thing that you don't want, okay? So we have to get out of this notion of making final decisions about things. And I know it's a hard thing to do because...
It is hard.
But we have to recognize it. How many times have we said, oh, this thing that happened to me, it's so horrible, and yet 6 months later it was the best thing that ever happened in your life.
Right. I've said that many times.
Yeah. I mean, it could be losing a job. It could be the end of a relationship, and then suddenly you discover, you know, the person of your dreams, your soulmate, whatever the case may be. But the first time around, you know, it just didn't work out. Now, again, we have to stop saying things are good and bad, and that's what we do with a judgment. We judge something to be good. We judge something to be bad. And as we make those judgments, well, isn't that exactly what we have in our reality today? We have good things and we have bad things. Well,
mm-hmm.
because we've all decided that there are good things and bad things. And if we could just take a more objective approach and say, okay, this happened in my life. It's neither good nor bad. It's an event that happened. Now, how can I take advantage of it? And how can I grow from this particular experience or event or activity, whether it be a disease or, like I said, a broken marriage or you lose a job? All right, obviously, there's more and better things to come, and that's the way
right. It
would be more appropriate to look at those events rather than sit there saying, oh, poor me. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Don't say, oh, poor me. Don't make any final decisions. Look at things objectively and see how you can grow and evolve and improve your basic perception of life.
Okay. Talk about a kingdom divided against itself will fall.
Well, okay, the key, number one, again, we got to separate from, in my opinion, what Jesus is saying versus what the religious dogma says. The religious dogma is saying the kingdom of heaven is someplace, it's a place that maybe if you're lucky you go to when you die. We don't exactly know where that particular place is. But if you're real good and if you do exactly as we say, if you follow exactly how we interpret what these teachings are all about, then chances are you'll be able to reach the kingdom. And whoa. Okay, time out here. Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here now. It is right here. It is not a place you go to. And so if you're by kingdom, you're talking about your thoughts. If your higher self is divided from your everyday self, then you're not going to get very far because you're in a constant state of conflict and turmoil.
Give me an example of that, your higher self in conflict with your...
Your higher self is going to be those higher thoughts and aspirations where it's kind of like that little voice inside of you that says it's really appropriate to, you know, give that dollar bill to the person who's asking for it, or to totally unconsciously put a can of food in the basket at the grocery store when they say they're collecting food. All of those things that tend to lead us in a more positive direction. That is the higher consciousness, the spiritual consciousness, that which is more totally connected to the universal consciousness, as opposed to our everyday reality, our everyday self, in which we tend to get caught up in the world. So when we divide those two kingdoms, when that kingdom is divided, when we don't align ourselves with our higher self, our higher state of consciousness, our higher state of being, our higher thoughts, our more noble thoughts, our more truthful thoughts, then our kingdom, our mind, is divided. And a divided kingdom is going to fall. It's going to, by fall, I mean it's going to be in a constant state of turmoil. There'll be some good things, some negative things.
Right.
You're just going to go through life not living, but just being subject to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And what Jesus is saying, whoa, people, you don't have to do that. The kingdom is already here. It is your highest state of consciousness. It exists right now within you, and all you really have to do is tap into it. I mean, he specifically says, be ye perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, okay, religions tend to teach people, okay, you're born in sin, you're corrupt, you're evil, and if you're lucky, you might be able to make up for something that happened, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of years ago. And what Jesus is saying, well, wait a minute, no. Here he is saying, be as perfect as God is. Now, if he had such a negative down view of what humanity was all about, why would he be telling people to be as perfect as what you might believe God, the universal intelligence,
right.
Is in the universe? Either that or he was just, you know, smoking some wacky tobacco when he said some of these things. And we know that isn't the case. So he is admonishing us. He is admonishing everyone that you can have what you want. It already exists. That you can be as perfect as you can possibly be, as whatever your perception of God might possibly be, to not divide your thoughts in terms of thinking things good versus bad, because those are the kind, when we think that way, then that's the way the world manifests, and we definitely
right.
have a world manifested that way.
You also talk about how you're God, we're all gods, and you control your own destiny, and whatever you believe you create and you attract.
Mm-hmm.
Expound on that.
Well,
I certainly believe that.
Okay. Now, obviously, what we're not saying, I'm not saying I'm God or you
right.
are God. There's a big difference between saying you are God as opposed to you are God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not on this big ego trip like, you know, I'm the big creator of the
universe.
Absolutely. But we are created in the imagination and likeness of whatever it was that started this whole thing off in the first place. You cannot separate the creation from the creator. When you paint a painting, that is you expressing yourself. When I write a book, it's me. It's something within me that I'm allowing to be expressed in a variety of ways. So, what Jesus ended up saying is that, look, people, you are not the scum of the earth. You don't have to live in poverty. You
right.
have the power and the ability to create the kind of reality that you would like to create. But in order to do this, and you have the power to do this, all you have to do is raise your level of consciousness. We get to that old ask and you receive, knock and the door shall be opened.
Okay? Right.
We all have the power to knock on doors. We all have the power to ask, okay? The inverse of that is also true. Whatever doors have been opened are ones that we have knocked on.
You're so
okay?
right.
So obviously, if we look around in our life and we say, okay, I don't like what I'm seeing in my life at the moment, keep in mind those are all doors that you have knocked upon, and those are the doors that are open. But he's saying you also have the power to knock on new doors. He didn't say there's a limited number of doors, that, you know, door number one, two, or three. That's the beauty of the universe. It's an infinite expression of divine intelligence, and we are part of that divine intelligence. We have the same attributes as the parent. We contain the same, so to speak, genetic material. Your children contain the same genetic material as you do. Therefore, whatever it was that started this whole thing off, we are obviously a part of it and contain that same material. I always try to tell people, in the beginning, there wasn't God in something else. Because then it begs the question, well, what was that something else? When God made the universe, there wasn't something else to make it out of, because where did that something else come from? The only thing God has to make the universe out of is itself. Therefore, everything that exists in the universe is an expression of that divine intelligence and obviously contains the basic building blocks of what that divine intelligence is. And that's why Jesus kept saying, people, you are gods. You have this ability. You have this power. Knock on the right doors. Ask for the right things. Whatever you desire will be made manifest unto you. Whoever has more is going to be given. When,
right.
when you come to understand the way this whole thing works, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. Okay? I mean, he makes no exceptions to any of this kind of stuff.
So why do you think people don't use all of the power and ability that's on the inside of them to really begin to create, shape, and mold their own reality?
It was taken away, Constance, basically. People gave it up. I know you've had John DeMartini on the show.
I have.
And in the book I have an interview with John, and we had a discussion on the phone one night, and I was asking him, I said, John, what do you think is the biggest impediment to people actually using consciously the law of attraction and creating a better life for themselves? And basically what he said is that people believe that there are those that have a higher moral authority than you do. As a result, you tend to listen to those people. So, for example, if somebody goes to 4 years of divinity school and sits in a pulpit and you know, wears a white collar turned backwards or a robe or whatever, we somehow believe that those people have a better connection to what the universe is all about, has a higher understanding of what Jesus taught than you could possibly have. Now, let's be real here. Look at the economists that have got this country into a royal shambles. These
right.
People that have had PhDs in economics, you know, they're running these huge corporations, and obviously the average person will say, well, obviously these folks know how to run the economy. Well, you know, they've been proven equally obviously that that is not the case. They totally made a shambles of it. And that is what has happened with this whole idea of religion, and that's why I'm so down on religion.
But not spirituality.
No, absolutely not. No, spirituality is what it's all about. I've got two other books, Waking God, Book 1, The Journey Begins, and Book 2 of the Waking God series, The Sacred Rota, and it very much comes down on what religion has done to humanity.
Right.
So somewhere along the line, you know, maybe people said, well, you know, these apostles, they hung out with Jesus, so they must know more than I do, so I'll listen to what they say. And someone got the bright idea, well, you know, if I say that the apostle of Jesus taught me, then obviously I know more. And then we begin to have this succession of notions, and the same thing happened in Islam as well. Unless you were of the family of Muhammad, you know, one of the sects over there says that you have no clue as to what Islam is all about. And so we began to give over our authority, our own insights, to other people, to the point where we didn't even bother to look at it or study it because we felt these other people were going to do it for us. And,
right.
We, you know, we got to go tend our farm and grow our crops. So, you know, when I have a problem, I'll go talk to this other guy who studied this all the time, and I'm sure he's going to be right, only to discover that isn't really the case.
That the power is within us. I like when you talk about that when you give thanks, you're saying that you already have something. Expound on that.
Okay. There is nothing in the universe that anybody lacks. We have no lack of energy. Anytime we say that our resources are limited, our money is limited, our happiness is limited, our joy is limited, automatically we're going to manifest those things. I mean, we have in the world today, we're talking about how we don't have enough food to feed people. Well, that's not true. Keep in mind, we have so many people saying there's not enough food to feed the people on the planet that guess what? We're not going to have enough food to feed the people on the planet. Why? Because we're manifesting that reality. Truth be told, there's plenty of food to feed everybody on the planet. There's plenty of energy, but, you know, maybe there's not a lot of oil. So what?
Right.
You know, enough sun shines in one day to light the planet, you know, for a million years. So
if a person doesn't have money, they should say, thank you, I have money. Thank you, I have money. They should be grateful for having it now, even though they may not have it in their hands or in their bank account.
One focus we have to be careful of is just focusing on the money thing, and the reason I say that is because you have to determine what you desire in life. Now, who's to say money's the thing that's going to get it to you? In other words, if your big desire was to get a house, okay, to somehow find a house for your family, the first thing somebody is probably going to do is, oh, I have to manifest money for a house. Well, is that the only way you can get a house?
No, somebody could give it to you.
Right, exactly. So as soon as we start saying, well, okay, I need to manifest money to get a house, you are now telling the universe what to do.
Mm.
The universe doesn't care for that too much, okay? the universe tends to know a little better as to what might be the best way in order for your desires to be made manifest. So what we should be focusing on really is not the how, but the what, okay? So if you want to have an abundant food supply for your family, you don't focus on getting a lot of money to get the food supply. You just want to focus on having the food for your family. If you want a beautiful residence for your family, you don't focus upon how do I get the money, because that's only one potential way in which that particular desire can be made manifest.
Okay.
So,
Philip, share with our listeners one manifestation that happened in your life personally that was really just big.
Okay. Just keep one thing in mind. Everything that happens in your life, you manifest.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, there's no we got to get out of this notion of thinking that manifestation is like the weekend warriors, you know, the guys that go out and exercise on the weekend and then they die all week long, you know, the muscles ache and that type of thing.
Right.
You are manifesting your life every breathing, thinking, waking, dreaming, slumbering moment. You are creating your reality, and you are manifesting your reality. The key question is, are you going to do it consciously, or are you going to continue to do it unconsciously? Either way, you are responsible. By not taking a conscious approach to manifesting the things the way you desire it to be, you have made a decision somewhere along the line that unconsciously you're going to let everybody else, the government, the church, the business community, you know, whatever the case may be, you're going to let these people determine your reality
right.
for you. But that is a choice you have made.
So that's the law of responsibility coming back again.
You better believe it.
You can escape
that. Truthfully, you know, this is really kind of funny.
Tell the truth, Philip.
Yes, no, this goes way back to when I was a little kid. I was from a working class family in Massachusetts. My mother and father divorced. My mother, you know, worked, God bless her, she worked all kinds of hours, this type of thing. And I'm not exactly sure the age. It might have been somewhere around 6 or 7, something like that. Well, back then, playing army and war and Indians, you know, that was a big thing. There was no politically incorrect thing about that.
Right.
And a new toy came out on the market. And, you know, the fact that I could remember it after so many years indicates that it was fairly important in my life.
Right.
It was called a bulldog tank, okay?
I never heard of that film.
I know. I'm sure it doesn't exist anymore. This was really a long time ago. And but the beauty about this tank was it was really big, and you kind of pushed a lever, and it rode on its own, and you could actually pull this other lever, and it shot little plastic bullets out, this type of thing. Well, it was all the rage. And Christmas was coming up. Now, our family didn't have a lot of money, obviously. Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends who lived 2 houses down and another friend who lived across the street, their parents had, you know, money coming out their rears. You know, whatever these kids wanted, they had all the time. So, you know, we all did our Christmas list, and everybody had this bulldog tank on it. And lo and behold, I was the only one that got one. And, oh, my God, were they ever envious. And for some reason, at that point, very early on in my life, I somehow came to, it probably wasn't a conscious idea at the time, but it subliminally sunk into my head that basically anything I want, the universe is going to provide. And Constance, truth be told, maybe I haven't always been clear as to exactly how, specifically what I wanted in a manifestation. But if I ever wanted a particular job, I always got that particular job. If I ever wanted to live in a particular place, I always managed to somehow move to that particular place. And through every aspect of my life, you know, I decided I wanted to write books. You know, I got books published. My wife and I decided we wanted to open a publishing business. You know, we only started last October. We've got 26 books published by other authors.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and we've got another, you know, probably 10 coming online pretty soon. And these are all things that we simply sat down, envisioned, and boom, everything just sort of happened and came about. So, you know, but see, this is the case with everybody, except most people don't sit down and say, okay, what have I manifested in my life? And if people would stop and say, okay, what have been the positive things that have manifested in my life? And if you just focused on those, then you begin to create what you've talked about, that mindset that puts you on a more positive direction. It puts you flowing with the river rather than against the river.
Okay.
And you'll be a lot happier for it.
Well, thank you for sharing that intimate story about your manifestation in your life. I want to talk a little bit about some tools to use. You said that Jesus had a set of principles regarding manifesting your heart's reality and desires. Share with our listeners some tools that they can begin to use. I know one is that you need to be clear about what you want.
Yeah, except we got to get rid of the want, and I probably use
a want. Okay, I'm sorry.
I probably, you know, truth be told,
clear
I
about what we desire
myself. Yes, you have to be clear on what you desire. We have to. Jesus talks about merchandise and throwing out merchandise, this type of thing. What he's talking about is the merchandise in our heads, and
okay.
I don't mean an attachment to things. It's just all the garbage, the clutter. You know, you look at your house, you look at a room, and you go, oh, look at all this junk I have in the garage or the basement or the shed or whatever the case may be. We got to get rid of that clutter so we can free our minds and clear things up a little bit. We have to realize that all of our needs and desires have already been met. The field is ripe with harvest. This is the power of gratitude. In the back of the book, there's an essay on the power of gratitude.
So, Philip, do you every day say thank you for this or thank you for my publishing company?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you say thank you for my publishing company before you actually founded the publishing company?
The first thing I do when I get up is I don't ask for anything. I just go through this whole litany of things that I'm grateful for. You know, I am grateful that there is peace, love, and light in the world. I don't sit there and say, oh, I want there to be peace, love, and light
mm-hmm.
in the world. You know, you go back, think about the Lord's Prayer for a second. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed is thy name. Mm-hmm. Thy kingdom come. It doesn't say, will come.
That's
thy
right.
kingdom come. It's here right now. Thy will be done. It doesn't say it might be done. It says the will of the universe is being done in earth as it is in heaven. So both on the physical and the spiritual plane, these things are already already happening. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what a remarkable statement that is? You are telling the universe. You're not saying, God, can I please have food today on my table? Can I please have, you know, a wonderful life? Give me is a command, is it not?
It is a command.
It is a command, and Jesus was trying to teach people that you are in command and control of the universe. Give me this day my daily bread.
Wow.
So, again, ye are gods. We have to think about these kinds of things.
Well, you know, I was very impressed by Dr. John DeMartini when he said he had a thick book of just things he was grateful for.
Oh, yeah.
Like thousands and thousands of just a list so long. And that really moved me because he says every day he may read maybe 1,000 different things that he's really grateful for.
Yeah,
and I think it's such a great tool.
And that as a tool is a wonderful tool because when you have those days that you're down and things don't seem to be going right, you pull out that little journal and you start going down that list and you go, oh, geez, you know, I forgot about this. I forgot about the bulldog tank. I forgot about the girlfriend in high school. I forgot about, you know, what a wonderful date that was. I forgot about how wonderful my wife may be, or if you're not having a great relationship, I am grateful for that night where everything went so well. And the next thing you know, you start reliving all of these positive things in your life, and now your mind has totally changed. It sort of gets to another book I wrote, Polarizing Your Life Toward Perfection. You are polarizing your mind in that positive vein, and you're basically putting aside all of these negative kinds of thoughts. And, yeah, it can turn you around. I think it's a wonderful tool for people to use, absolutely.
What other tools can you relate to our listeners that they can use?
Okay, again, we don't want to make final decisions about things. Don't say this is good, this is bad, because you don't know. The only way you can make a final decision about something is if you know everything. Now, granted, deep down inside, there is a part of us that does know everything. That's our connection to the universe, our connection to God, whatever you know, divine intelligence, whatever you want to call it. But until you are consciously aware of that, okay, then making a final decision about something means you have all information available, and we know from human experience we make so many stupid decisions because we lack information. So don't make final decisions. Just look at things, look at events, and say, okay, interesting, how can I learn, how can I grow, how can I evolve here? Change your mind about the nature of the world. Know that the kingdom of heaven, which is not a place in some Andromeda galaxy or beyond the far reaches of the universe, far, far away, know that that kingdom of heaven is here right now within each and
within
every
each
one of
us. Yes.
Let the inner light be manifest. This is what we're talking about, the kingdom divided. Let those higher thoughts, that higher calling, find its way through the sludge of your mind and bubble to the surface and pop like a boiling pot there with a bubble.
So does that mean you have to monitor your thoughts all day?
Oh, you know, it's wicked, Constance. Yes. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that using the law of attraction consciously is either easy or difficult, because as soon as I do that, then you create a mindset. Well, you know, it's really hard to do this. Well, you know, now from now on, that's the reality you create. It's going to be really hard to do it. But, yeah, it's interesting. And people, if they ever get a chance, try to practice for a day, going through the day, monitoring what you're thinking about to the point we think, oh, what did I just think about? Oh, what did I just say? Why did I say that? How come I went this way instead of that way? Monitor all your thoughts. It's a habit we have to get into. Again, that's back to the law of responsibility.
Right.
I've done
that, and it's a lot of work, but I think what it has shown me is, well, I didn't know I was thinking that.
Yeah.
I'm going to change that. So I consciously begin to make a decision that I'm going to change a particular way of thinking.
Exactly. That's
right.
What you got to do. Take no concern for basic necessities of life. They've already been provided. The abundance is freely given to everybody. Again, it's the old sparrow thing. The sparrows don't worry. What the hell are you worrying for? You know, as you worry about it, you're going to create the problem. Okay? So stop, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, that old saying, it's all small stuff. Everything in your life is the result of your thoughts and intentions. This is the law of responsibility. Denial of this fact closes doors. When people decide they do not want to take responsibility for their actions, for their life, for their illness, for their poor relationships, for their lack of finance, then what they've done is they've closed the opportunity, because that door that they could knock on, where all those things could possibly be, are only going to happen if you take the action and the responsibility to knock on that door. But if you think you're just going to sit home and somebody's going to come along and meet all your desires and all your needs without you doing anything, well, you know, it's just never going to happen. You have to take some action along these lines. You have to pick the doors that you're going to knock on. And if you're living a life of poverty, and if you're living a life where your relationships just aren't being what they are, well, guess what? You created that. Those are doors that you knocked on. Close those stupid doors and find another one to knock on.
Right.
Yeah. Be careful about dividing your thoughts. Your mental house will collapse. That's the whole kingdom divided. Thinking you know it all does not work if you only have limited amount of information and no inner conviction. We got to watch out for catch-22s, the just-in-case syndrome. I love
right.
this one. Okay, I know the law of attraction works. I know I'm going to be healthy, but just in case, I'm going to take all these pills. Okay, come on. Now, what are you telling the universe? You're telling the universe you really don't believe what you're saying, and as a result, you're going to do something else just to cover your butt. Well, guess what? That is not going to bring about conscious creation in your life. You're going to continue to go through the same old habits. So beware of the just-in-case syndrome.
What's your take on core belief systems? Because people say that really change won't occur. I know you say in you talk in your book about repent really means to change. That's what Jesus meant.
Right.
What is your belief about changing your core belief system, you know, really getting down in your DNA before change can occur in your life?
Again, it's that word. If you say change, you're always going to be in the process of changing.
Ah.
If you say want, you're always going to be in the process of wanting. If you say believing, you're never going to be in a position of knowing. You're always going to think, well, maybe everything's going to be turning out all right. We don't need to change a thing, Constance.
What do we need to do?
That's the problem. We simply need to pull that bushel basket off our head and let the light inside change. The light's already lit. It's
mm-hmm.
already glowing, okay? It's just been smothered with layers and thousands of years of dogma, silly ideas, silly notions, not taking responsibility for our lives, ridiculous beliefs, power grabs between those that supposedly have and those that don't have. We've just so muddled up that light, but it exists right there. We don't have to change anything. We just got to see that light that's already existing within us and just toss the garbage off and let that.
So what does repent mean to you? What does repent mean?
The actual word repent is to change your way of thinking. You know, John was running around saying repent, the actual root word repent is to change the way you're thinking, to alter the way in which you view things. So he wasn't saying, okay, sit there and don't. What he was not saying is that, oh, you're a sinner, you have to ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
What he was saying is that we have to alter the way we perceive the world around us. We don't we have to alter our view of seeing lack and instead see abundance. We have to alter our view of, we have to change our mind of the way we think about relationships and see positive relationships, see happiness, not sadness, see prosperity, not lack. Those are the kinds of things that repent really gets to. It's not like, oh, I'm a sinner, I hope I don't go to hell. That's not what he was talking about. Change your perception of the universe, and the universe will follow your perception.
So to you, change simply means that it's already in us, and we just have to take all the debris that's been in our lives for years, and once the debris is gone, then who we are will shine so brightly that change will occur.
Yeah, if you seek the truth of your inner being, all that you need and desire will manifest in your life.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I love the way that you said it. That just gave me a different way to really think about that. Well, I know you've written another book, Polarizing Your Life to a Perfection. We have about 10 minutes.
Right.
How is that related to the law of attraction, or is it?
Yeah, definitely. This gets back to, like I said, the whole thing about judgment and making decisions really kind of hit home with me, and how silly we are and what we do in terms of creating your reality. And the bottom line with polarizing your thoughts is that we have to keep this thought, it gets to physics, too. Say every action is an equal and opposite reaction. Okay, the secret talks about, and other people, spiritual leaders, have talked about, the war on poverty isn't going to work because you're starting the battle. And anytime you start the battle, there's going to be two sides to that coin. If you fight for something, then there's always going to be two sides to that coin. What tends to happen is if I run around saying, hey, I want world peace, well, you know what I've actually done? I've also generated the idea that there's such a thing as world war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Our thoughts immediately become polarized. As a matter of fact, Constance, this is the only way we have a manifest universe. You have to have a positive and a negative in order to have anything made manifest. You know, you have to have a male and a female, and you create a kid, and that kid is neither that male or that female. It's a manifestation of those two things coming together.
Correct.
If you don't have down, there's no such thing as up. And what people need to realize is that if you don't have darkness, you're never going to see the light in the physical manifest world. Okay, I'm not talking on the spiritual plane, but in the physical manifest world, if everything was bright light, you wouldn't see a thing. All that would be reflected would be white light. You wouldn't be able to see yourself. You wouldn't be able to see anything in the world at all. Okay, this is that big screen that the universe becomes created on. And the only way that you can create a physical world is to have contrast. That contrast, unfortunately, became known as good and bad. And it's not good and bad. There's no such thing. Darkness does not exist. I cannot show you. I cannot get a ball of darkness and give it to you. Darkness is merely just the absence of light. But you have to have these contrasts in order to make any kind of sense or to function in the physical universe. Now, the physical universe is just one manifestation of the universe, but it happens to be the one where we're in at the moment. It has a lot of wonderful positive things about it. We come here to experience beautiful sensations. I mean, I love pizza. I love peanut butter. You know, these are wonderful kinds of things that I'm not sure you can experience in a totally spiritual universe. And so we come here to experience the physical side of the universe. But in order to do that, we have to have the ups and the downs. They're not opposed to each other. They are just things that enable the universe to function. Atoms would not hold together if there wasn't a positive polarity and a negative polarity. So what I talk about in Polarizing Your Life Toward Perfection is to stop taking extreme views about anything, because as soon as you do, you automatically, unconsciously, manifest the equal and opposite reaction.
Oh.
We need to go through our life and see things more objectively. The more objective we see things, the more positive we become. And just like we talked about with that journal idea where you write down all these positive things, by doing that, you are polarizing your mind in a more positive, desirable direction. And the more you keep your mindset along that particular train of thought, then the less you're going to be manifesting all of these kinds of opposites. It's just when we get very emotional about something, we have to be very careful. On the one hand, emotion is the driving force in the universe. It's your desire that brings about a manifestation. But a strong desire with an attachment also ends up creating the other side of that coin. You can't have extreme wealth without extreme poverty. Otherwise, the term extreme wealth has no meaning. Or
right.
Wealth has no meaning without somebody not having wealth. Okay, so if we say we want wealth, we want all of these wonderful things that there are in life, the only way that happens in a physical world is that the opposite has to exist. Otherwise, we have nothing to compare it to.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't get enough information out of you, Philip. Share just quickly about the manifestation catch 22, because I think people need to know maybe why they aren't manifesting what they think they should be manifesting. What is catch 22?
Well, it depends on how old you are, but there was a book by John Heller called Catch 22, and there was also a movie called Catch 22. Catch 22 is kind of a funky thing. An example of a Catch 22 is, you live outside of the United States. In order to come to the United States, you have to be employed in the United States. Catch 22. Okay, you're living outside of the United States, but to come here, you have to have a job. All right, but you can't get the job unless you come here.
Right.
So you're caught in that endless kind of spiral where silly things are always put in our way, and it locks us into an endless loop, just like a computer, on your screen where you hit a site and your computer starts freezing up and it just goes around and around and around. If you have a Mac, that happens to Macs all the time. But I hate that. You see that little rainbow thing and it spins and it spins and it spins. And in that kind of situation, you're kind of caught in one of these catch-22s where it really can't go anywhere. One of the things I said, you put all your bills into a stack and figure out how much money you need. Catch 22. You were telling the universe that you're needy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the catch 22. That's like that person that said, I'm going to get rid of all of my negative thoughts and just think about all the money I want, all the things that I want. I'm going to be in a positive direction. Catch 22. You want. You're never going to get those things, whoever asked that, because you have set it out in a way that puts you in a wanting frame of mind rather than saying, it's a I have frame of mind.
I have it now. It's mine now. Thank you for it.
Yeah.
That's really great.
So it's the way we think can put us into that catch 22 loop. It's thinking of belief, thinking of I want something or I don't want something. It puts our mental state into this crazy catch 22 endless loop in which nothing happens. Everything stays the same, or it may get a little bit worse, it may get a little bit better, but you never end up manifesting what you really desire because we're saying one thing but using totally different words that have a different meaning to the universe, and as a result, we're just sort of sitting there spinning, not being able to get that job because we can't get to the country in order to, fill out the application kind of thing.
Wow.
But in order to fill out the application, you got to get to the country.
Right.
And so we put ourselves into that crazy state of mind.
Not enough time, Philip.
I know.
Please share with our listeners your website, how they can get your book, your services, et cetera.
Yeah, if you want to see any of my books, actually, you can just Google Philip F. Harris, and it'll come up. Or if you go to Amazon, when it says products, hit books, and then put my name in, Philip F. Harris, and the list of all the books that I've done, they come right up in a list. That's probably the easiest way. I know on your site, Constance, you were thoughtful enough to post my website, allthingsthatmatterpress.com. You'll find the books that some of the books that I've done. I haven't published all my books. I'm with some other publishers as well. And some of the other wonderful books that we have done and are going to be coming up shortly. So that would be the place. Go to Amazon or allthingsthatmatterpress.com, and you'll be able to find a number of things. And I did just create a new site. Hell, I don't even – just for my books and truth be told, let's see if I haven't remembered.
Okay.
Right. It's
so they can go to your website and find all the information out.
Yeah, they can go to HTTP books by Philip F. Harris .YOLASITE.com. I just created that, so if anybody gets a chance, they can check that out as well.
Philip, you've been a superb guest. You've just given us so much information. I have learned so much from you. I'm going to have you back again on my show.
Happy
You've just
to.
Been a real blessing, and thank you so much for your gift.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and hopefully you won't get too much flack from or Buddhists or Muslims or whatever.
Have a great day.
Okay, Constance. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Wasn't that a great interview? This is Constance with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show, saying that if you truly think and if you truly believe, then you can manifest and live the life of your dreams. I'll see you this time next week. Have a great day.